Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana.
And I'm your co-host, JR.
How are you doing today, JR?
Doing amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because we're hanging out together.
We're hanging out. The weather is gorgeous.
Yeah, you're gorgeous.
You're gorgeous.
All right, that's enough of that. We're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our recurring theme, fave pot and fave not pot. And as usual, I will go first. Okay, so before I start, I want to apologize for the nasally sound of my voice, because even though it is beautiful outside, allergies are abound, right? Seasonal allergies are out of control right now. Okay, so my fave pot is actually a lubricating sex oil called Drip, and the company or the brand is named High Priestess. And if you were able to check out our Mother's Day gift guide on our Substack, go check it out if you haven't yet, because I feel like it's relevant all year round, because you can treat yourself whenever, right? And also, some of the things that I listed on there, I feel you have to have in your life. And one of them is, not some of the things, all of the things you should have. Great endorsement. Anyway, but one of the products that I mentioned was this product. It's called Drip. And it's really fantastic because it's not your typical lubricating oil, or I should say it's not what I envision typically. It has a really great combination of herbs. It has, in addition to hemp-derived CBD, which increases blood flow and enhances sensation when applied to intimate areas, it also has marshmallow root in it, which I'm currently obsessed with. And marshmallow root is amazing for so many reasons. So anyway, it also has coconut oil in it. There are other ingredients, but I'm just obsessed with the fact that it has marshmallow root in it. And High Priestess has an amazing line of products. So definitely check them out. And I will have that linked in the show notes. What is your fave pot right now, JR?
My fave pot is actually the Avexia Bath Soaks salts.
Bath salts?
Bath salts, yes. It's a soak.
Okay.
Yeah. I took the long way to get to the fact that it's a soak. But no, it's a bath salts. You know, sometimes your body hurts. And
what? Sometimes?
Or as you get older, it's like all the time. And while just straight topicals can be nice, you can't be just going around rubbing the lotions all over your entire body, you know, all the time. So, you know, this isn't the Wanted movie where you can just sit in a bath of lotions and heal yourself. But you can sit in a bath of bath salts. So, you know, take yourself a nice relaxing time. Put some of those bath salts into the water, and it gives like a very nice, relaxed body feel. So, you know, you can do some self-care. You put the bath salts in.
I'm going to throw you off here.
Okay.
Because I know you can answer this. So what is the difference between the transdermal?
Don't answer me that. I'm not prepared to answer that. Not getting into that right now.
Well, I feel like you set yourself up here, because you said rubbing it all over your body, and then now you're saying by going into a...
I didn't set myself up for anything. Just trying to think
of
a favorite
part. Isn't it true, though, that the soak can enter certain mucous membranes in the bath situation that it can't?
You're not going to get high.
No, not high. Just it would be a different type of body.
It's a little bit, yeah. It's a looser body. It's going to be more of a muscle relaxing. It's not just going to heal like a very surface level pain,
right?
You know, it's going to get a lot deeper. It's going to relax the entire body,
right?
You know, and that's really what you're looking for. You know,
yeah.
You
right before bed,
you put the soak in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
You lay down in there. You put on your favorite podcast. Most likely, it's Your Highness Podcast. You know,
and
you
just love that,
right?
Yeah, that's great.
You're just listen. Okay, look. Imagine you're in a bath right now. You got this nice salt that's just making your body feel relaxed. And you hear these two beautiful voices coming out of your phone, just talking to you while you're in your tub. It's amazing. It's an amazing
situation.
This
isn't going to be a bath time podcast if we go too far here.
Oh, we can do a bath time podcast. Get some candles. Get some lavender.
I mean, who am I talking? Who am I to talk? Who am I talking?
Who am I talking now?
Who am I to talk? I mean, I listen to true crime in the bathtub.
In the bathtub. I listen to the comic book and horror podcasts, so not the most relaxing
thing.
To
each their own. Yeah. You know, whatever.
And your own, I'm assuming, is Your Highness podcast. Or getting personal with plant medicine.
Oh, another great one.
Oh, you like that
plug? I love that. I love that. And speaking of that, all right, so that's a great segue to my next fave not pot. Another item I put on that Mother's Day gift guide is they are called the Daily Bite. They are these, they're different flavors. They have different flavors. The one that I put on is the double strawberry. And the company is called Rootless. And the item is called the Daily Bite. Soon you'll be able to see me doing this because we are going to be moving to video soon. But I'm saying that because I'm holding up the bag as if everybody's watching me.
I thought you were
going to
watch people watch you eat it.
Well, no, because no, then I wouldn't be recording. I guess I could record, but it would be
pretty
bad.
What is it called? The munchbees or something like that?
No, the mukbang.
The mukbang.
Oh, no. No one wants to see me do a mukbang. Nuh-uh. Nope. That's a hard no. And I hate that I even know what it is. Anyway, just for those listening, JR just found out what a mukbang is.
Yes.
If you want to know, go on TikTok. You'll be entertained. Anyway, back to my fave not pot. They are called the Daily Bite. They are seaweed bites, but they don't taste overwhelmingly like seaweed. And they have, sorry, hear the crinkling. It's because I'm holding up the bag. Anyway, each bite contains your daily dose of iodine from seaweed. From seaweed, which supports your thyroid and metabolism for all day energy without the crash. And I can definitely attest to that. I think it really has helped regulate my energy. And it's an easy way to get seaweed in my diet. For those of you who don't know, which would be probably everyone, I used to be allergic to seafood, so I wasn't able to eat seaweed for a long time. And so now I'm really excited that I can. And I really love this product. I love what they're about. And I encourage you to check them out. The brand, again, is called Rootless. And they are the Daily Bite. And my favorite right now is the double strawberry. Anyway, what is your fave not pot?
My fave not pot, it's Eurovision.
Oh!
Oh! Year after year, I love it. I just absolutely love it. You know, some of our U.S. listeners may not fully know what I'm talking about, but we have a really strong listening hub in Ireland.
Yes.
So
we have quite a few countries who listen.
Exactly. So I'm sure they are fully in the know of what I'm talking about. This year, another banger of a year. Obviously, my favorite was, not obviously, because it's just because it's my favorite doesn't mean it's everyone's favorite, was Baby Lasagna from Croatia. I'm still listening to it. But a lot of really great ones. Speaking of Ireland, you had Bambi Thug. They did an amazing job.
They did.
You had Windows 95 Man with No Rules. That was the one with the jean shorts. That was amazing.
What was it, Switzerland?
No. Switzerland won. No, it was Finland. Yeah, Switzerland won with Nemo, which... they did an amazing job as well. You know, while not my favorite, the way they were able to pull off both operatic and rap and being able to hold those notes while they were spinning on a disc, it was amazing. They truly, really did deserve to win. And while there was some toxic energy this year, it was nice to see that for the most part, I'll say 99% of the countries really banded together and supported each other, and it was really just one or two countries that not so much. But we don't want to focus on the bad aspects of it, because there was a lot of greatness and a lot of beauty that came from this year's Eurovision, especially being with Nemo, the winner, being the first non-binary winner to obviously to win Eurovision, and even Bambi Thug being the first non-binary performer, because they performed the day before Nemo. So a great year all around. I'm still listening to most of the songs on a playlist that I created, and just an absolute jam. So, you know, all the people in the States, you know, next year, you know, tune into Eurovision. It's not just a movie with Will Ferrell. It's actually a really, really solid 3-day performance extravaganza, if you will.
I agree. It was fun. I had fun this year watching it with you. I mean, I had fun, but yep. Every year. Ever feel like life's stress gets to be too much? Welcome to MitraGaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's MitraGaia.com and code YHPOD for 10% off. Okay, so this episode, we're raw dogging
it. You've been waiting to say that.
I just want to sound like I'm young, you know, that's all.
That's why I said banger earlier. I was like, I'm gonna reach the ears of the young kids. I'm gonna say banger.
Yeah. Well,
I don't even know if they say that anymore.
Probably
to the kids.
Not.
No.
So we're just going to chat a little bit about a very, very controversial take on LinkedIn recently. I mean, I say very controversial only because there was a lot of responses to this. And some may think it's hot, a hot take, and some may think it's just stating the obvious. Anyway, to give the original poster credit, his name is Brad Bogus, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing, but I don't know him in real life, so. So he put out a post a week ago, and I am going to paraphrase because it's a long one. So I will read the top and the bottom, and if you want to read the whole thing, I will link to it in the show notes. Okay, so he says, "The following is not an inflammatory take for the sake of being edgy, but an honest assessment of the cannabis industry as of current. We need to dismantle the regulated cannabis market. There is no hope in this system. It is designed to crush operators. It's designed to only benefit a very privileged few. It's designed to fund state and local coffers, not line the pockets of hardworking operators. The track and trace needs to be eradicated. Testing needs to be standardized only to protect consumer safety. Do away with potency requirements. Childproof packaging is a travesty. End it all. We're not saving children. We're pandering to fearmongers, destroying the planet. Remove license caps and allow anyone to enter and compete without requiring millions in investment capital. Reduce taxation to the exact same level of regular businesses. Model it after existing industry sectors, agriculture, manufacturing, distribution, retail. The only thing regulators should be involved in is ensuring safe workplace environments and safe product. That's it. In short, make cannabis look like regular businesses. The whole system is going to crush the entire sector. It's probably designed that way, if not intentionally, recklessly unintentionally. My only existing hope lies in the hemp industry, A very ironic place to land for me, considering how many qualms I've had with it over the last 2 years. Okay. Anyway. All right. So that's about it. Yeah. That's the gist. There's a lot to unpack there.
There's a whole lot to unpack.
I'm going
to
start. Can I just start really?
Absolutely.
I'm going to right off the bat. I wanted to say that I agree with him about the childproof packaging.
Absolutely.
Is like that one stands out. I mean, a lot of them. Anyway, childproof packaging is because I've been talking about it a lot lately. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen a lot of evidence out there that in all of the states where adult use is legal, meaning that you can purchase cannabis 21 and over or 18 and over, mm-hmm. whatever the state
allows,
that the use among children is actually going down. If it doesn't, it most certainly isn't going up.
No.
That's been proven.
No. And a lot of this, you know, you hear like these one-off scenarios of a kid taking some candies to school. And then the fully non-existent situations of strangers giving kids these candies on Halloween and stuff like that, all just fully designed into this fear-based structure to build upon more regulation. When, you know, alcohol, just off the top of my head, isn't in a child-proof package.
Right.
At all.
It's really about, I mean, as we have gone on and on and on about and continue to go, we have plans to do a lot more to nail this point home. It's about education. It's about having honest discussions with children.
Exactly.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what the package is.
I will say,
if a kid wants to get into it, the kids are smart.
Right.
They're not like
we had those poison stickers, right? And I've already
Mr.
talked,
Yuck.
Yeah, and I've talked about how that has done a lot of heavy lifting. Those stickers did a lot of heavy lifting in our childhood.
Oh, yeah.
However, one thing I will credit my parents for doing is that even though we had a, you know, an anti-drug mentality as a household, I say we, they did, not me.
Yeah.
definitely not me. Anyway, they would kind of parse like which ones were worse, right? Like I knew cocaine was not something I wanted to mess with.
Yeah.
Because they gave me literature to read on it. They had me read books. They made me research the drug.
Yeah.
And I saw also in real life what it could do to people, so that made me not want to mess with it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to experiment with it. And even though they never came out and said, oh, cannabis, wink, wink, is fine, there were a lot of other signals that made that clear.
Yeah.
So it's like they pick up on your whole attitude, right? Like, you can't sit there and say, well, this is okay, but this is not because I use it. No, we need to talk about all of the sides of it. You have to be honest.
And a lot of the things, too, that are being child packaged, it's being done needlessly.
Right.
You know, and it's just we're creating all this harmful waste for like this green industry, all this harmful waste for no reason. Like if you want to say, oh, gummies, you know, you can have your argument with that. But when you're talking about just flour, like, what's the kid going to do when they get it open in the first place?
Right.
They can't just eat it. It's not going to do anything
right.
to them.
Right.
You know, we're unnecessarily creating all these unnecessary packagings that mm-hmm. are just being thrown in the landfills and just polluting our environment.
Right.
Landfills, if you're lucky, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of dispensaries that have a lot of packaging litter just in their parking lots from people ripping open the packaging and just throwing it away. No one keeps their packaging.
No. Neighborhoods. Walking my dog, I see so many pieces
exactly.
of trash.
Of unbiodegradable, unreusable.
Biodegradable.
Yeah. What did I say?
I think you said unbiodegradable.
Oh.
Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, but unreusable packaging that's just throwing waste onto the planet just so that
somebody feels a little bit better about the fact that you have it in your hands.
Yeah. And that someone can control.
But even that's
the
just all
aspect.
Mental. That's just mental gymnastics that are unnecessary
yeah.
because it's just for plastic companies to make more money.
It's
for the bigger companies that handle all of that to make more money. The 100%. Regulatory systems, the you know, compliance groups, all of
yeah.
that. They're all making all the money.
Speaking of the compliance groups, I'm going to jump onto the next
yeah.
topic, and
yeah.
that's going to be the seed-to-sale tracking.
Right.
And this is something that I've gone back and forth on. But really, when you look at it, it's created. We need to basically find out what kind of industry we are actually working with here, because right now there's no defined way of doing things. We can't say that we're medical, you know, because basically what Seed of Sale does is it tracks to make sure there's no diversion that is occurring, which could be very important for things like pharmaceuticals, you know, things that have a high addiction rate, you know, chemicals. Things that you need a prescription for. Mm-hmm. So when you're dealing with stuff like that, you know, if I go to refill my prescription, it takes, you know, at least 45 minutes just to have it ready for me to pick up, because everything has to be done in such a slow, small scale way to be able to track every single pill, every single vial for a tracking system so the government knows exactly what is going in and what is going out. Now, in the cannabis industry, which is run in a very retail-centric aspect, things are a lot more fast-paced. We don't have time to take 45 minutes to fill one person's order. So what that does is it creates human error, which is naturally occurring in all retail environments. When you have the seed to sale, that basically gives regulatory agencies carte blanche to come in and deliver fines, because no location is ever going to be perfect. There is not going to be a single location that does not lose an eighth or a vape cartridge. So what that does is that allows the regulatory agents to come in and say, well, what happened to this? And when you can't answer it, you can then get fined. It creates almost like a shakedown atmosphere where once a quarter, if you're lucky, sometimes once a month, a regulatory agent can come in, find something that they know is going to be an easy hit because it's impossible not to have it happen, and automatically deliver a fine. So the seed to sale system isn't actually protecting anybody. It's just creating a shakedown atmosphere and with access to be able to view from governing agencies. So really, we need to decide, are we medical? Are we going to take 45 minutes to fill someone's order and treat it like we are a pharmacy? Or are we a retail establishment? Are we actually just delivering people's wants for money in our capitalistic society? Because we can't have both. And right now, things like the seed to sale is acting like we're in this perfect world where people can produce and deliver at the speed of a retail environment and hold the same exact strict follow-throughs with their inventory as a pharmacy, in which one person fills every order and it can take them at least 45 minutes to fill it.
Yeah, and then I'm going to just piggyback on that, and then you can speak more to this, and then we'll end it. And if you want to have us further to the discussion, let us know. Anyway, not to cut you off, but just to speak to what you're speaking to, where he says how the only thing that regulators should be involved in is ensuring safe workplace environments and safe product. That's it.
And that's the last thing they're looking for.
Exactly. I mean, what you're talking about, it's like you're doing this like, what is the word I'm looking for when you're like, like everybody has to be in and out in a certain amount of time. And
it's like an assembly line.
Line, that's it. So they want this assembly line production. Consumers want you to treat each person individually.
Yeah.
And who's actually looking out for the employees?
Yeah, it creates this nightmare hellscape where no one can actually feel good about what they're doing. Either you're taking too long, or someone in your shop could miss something and accidentally give, God forbid, somebody an extra gummy, you know, and that delivers a fine, and then you're at risk of losing your job. It's not a system that's designed to allow people to thrive or allow businesses to thrive and do well. It's almost like they're chopping off everyone at their knees, you know. I understand that it's still federally scheduled one, but on a state level, if it is legal, it needs to be treated like it's legal, you know, and right now it's not. Mm-hmm. It's still treated in a very hush-hush way and a very unnecessarily rule-driven way. You know, if it's legal for adult use, then it's legal for adult use. It should be treated like alcohol. If someone comes in and they're over 21, they can buy the alcohol. It should be the same exact way. regulators don't go in on a tracking system with alcohol companies and say, hey, this Budweiser is missing. What happened? And someone says, oh, it fell on the ground and shattered. And then they get fined. That doesn't happen.
No.
You know, why are things like this happening in the cannabis industry?
It's, and then they don't let you get paid. I know I said that was the last thing, but now just like to top it all off, you know, because like there's so many financial blockages for people who are in the cannabis industry. Even people who talk about it. I was shut down by Stripe. And they didn't just double down. They tripled down. They were like, you talk about CBD. Even talking about CBD can keep you from getting paid.
Yeah.
And it's not even just getting paid. It's like getting loans and getting houses. And it just goes so far. And it's all because cannabis threatens all of these other big businesses, right? I mean,
exactly.
And so that's an opportunity for a lot of bad players to come in and take advantage of the, you know, propaganda machine.
It keeps us from living in a real industry.
Yeah.
You know, when you're still having people in the industry being told that they have to close their bank accounts because they're getting paid through cannabis. It's like, what is this?
Right.
You know, is this legal or not? Are we making progress or not? It's like we're making progress in name. We're showboating. Oh, we're doing all this. Look how progressive we are. Oh, I'm thinking about signing this bill. Oh, hoo, hoo. You know, it's like, what is this? It's like, just do it.
Yes. I mean, it's like just on an environmental level.
Yeah.
What could be done?
Exactly. The studies have shown in the states that have gone adult use, we're not a bunch of dystopian freaking Mad Max people running around freaking killing each other. We're all just completely civil people just trying
little,
to consume.
A little nicer, exactly. A little more considerate, a little bit more aware of things.
Yeah, it's like, when are we going to end this? Oh, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to think about it up until November and then I'll see. It's like, just come on.
Well,
just
we know what
do
that's
it.
About.
Then. Oh, we know what I it's mean, about, but like,
why would they actually do it when they can just trot it out every 4 years and make everybody go.
Oh, I wasn't able to do it before this November, but trust, if you vote me in 4 years, I'm going to do it then.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
this plant that's been in use for literally hundreds, if not thousands of years. Oh, let's act like it's brand new.
Let's act like it's brand new, like no one's ever heard of it before.
Anyway, we'll stop ranting.
Yeah.
So. But that's not all for this episode. Stay tuned for our local look into the Georgia cannabis scene with Shiloh Bigless. And now for our closer look. We are actually going to take a look at the Georgia cannabis and CBD scene with Shiloh Bigless from Level Mind CBD. How are you doing today, Shiloh?
Good. How are you? I'm fantastic.
Great. I'm good. Maybe not great, but I'm good. So, Shiloh, let's start by taking a snapshot of the Georgia cannabis scene. And I know that your position in it is a little different. But can you give us a little bit of background about the current attitude among consumers and, you know, cannabis enthusiasts in the area?
Well, in Georgia, we have the most restrictive medical cannabis license that there is. There is only 18 conditions, and it's only approved for a 5% THC. Yes, you heard that right. 5% THC.
Wow. Okay, I take it back. Yeah. It's not as bad as Maryland.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So it's pretty bad. That was also approved and passed in 2018. The first dispensary is open this January. So that kind of tells you the political bureaucracy BS that kept people patient with cards who had no access to it. So it just became available. Licensing were issues last year for the manufacturers, for the dispensaries. And so it's been very, very frustrating for people in looking for medicine, period. Obviously, my company is Level Mind CBD, so we are on the hemp side of it. So we did what we could, just helping all the patients that were sitting there with a card and still having to break the law and go to another state and get 5% oil. So, but for us, I mean, we were able to help a lot of people. And then with the hemp bill changing and kind of the wiggle around that we have, we were able to make, you know, stronger, more high-powered edibles at least. Can't really get away with it with oil or vape or anything like that. But with edibles, I mean, at least to help a lot of these people. And like my best case study was a woman who came off of liquid morphine with 25 milligram gummies, 25 milligram Delta 9. And now this is like a gigantic, like 10 or 12 gram gummy. It's huge to be able to put that many milligrams in. But she's now taking 5 milligram chocolates. So she was able to wean herself off liquid morphine from 3 botched back surgeries. And so, again, this is helping the people who need help. And yeah, so it's just nice to be able to do what we can to help.
But you do have a retail location, right?
Yes, we're 9 years in business and 5 years retail. So we got into it as soon as hemp became legal in 2015. And then we actually opened our retail store in late 2018. Right before we had our first full year was 2019. So
Not a lot has changed in the last several years, pretty much. It's been very slow moving.
Very, very, very slow. So like I said, while that was happening, we supported a lot of people. But it was a good thing because we saw so many different people who needed stuff that wasn't just THC. So we have a huge market. We have a line which we call our professional and our family line, which is really high powered miners. So really strong CBN for sleeping, for all of our active service members or first responders or someone with kids and they don't want to get them high with THC. So they need something to help them sleep. So we, the store has helped a ton because we see this need and we're like, okay, we'll create it. We'll do it. So, and we don't work with any just plain CBD. CBG is in every single product we have. So it's activating both receptors, getting that entourage effect, and not having to have, you know, the psychoactive part of it. So, and it's in all of our THC products and all of our non-THC products. So
CBG, you're saying?
CBG, yes. It's a miracle molecule that really every single person should be doing.
I agree. So, I mean, I think that a lot of us are unaware of what's going on in Georgia. So what would you say to people who have no clue about the industry, who are in the industry in Georgia, if that makes any sense? Like, what do you wish people knew about the cannabis scene there?
The cannabis scene, there's not a lot that could be said because, like I said, there's 17, maybe 18 conditions. I think they were talking about adding some this year that could have changed. And then it's a 5% oil. It was an oil only, but they just added a lozenge now, a 5% THC lozenge. So those are the only two products, that can be purchased in the dispensary. So these dispensaries are open and they have two products on the shelf.
Two products?
Two products. And it was just oil. The lozenge just got approved this year. So it's two products. That's all they have access to. No flower, no vape. So it's definitely very frustrating. We're very slow moving in the hemp world, which is obviously my side. We just passed, Governor Kemp actually just signed on April 21st or 22nd, SB 494, which some was calling a pretty restrictive hemp bill. I think it was things that needed to happen in the state no matter what. Big things like packaging, making sure that everything is in child-resistant containers, no alluring to children, no look-alikes, like we can't have a bag of Nerds with a Z and Skittles with a Z and show the pictures.
So restrictive, though, even that, you know, because it's like so many things look like so many things. Come on. Anyway, but that's not the discussion right now.
Yes, I know. With our packaging, at least in our brand Level Minds, we've been in child-resistant containers, UV protection, and we have very clean labeling and packaging. I think the biggest thing with, like, making things look good is don't throw, like, a watermelon sticker on it. Or, like, I think that's what they mean, like, just making it look, you know, bright and colorful. But so for us, that wasn't a huge issue because especially with our packaging and our labeling, we were already set. I'm not very happy about the having to put a sign on my door for saying that anything you purchase in here, you have to be 21 plus, because like I said, I have a line that is for professionals and families.
Mm-hmm.
I have a trampoline in the back room and a Lego table. I have a lot of kids who are on the spectrum that their parents come in and have a lot of questions for me.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for me to put a sign on my door and be like, look, I can't sell to you unless you're 21, when I have a whole line, which is for all
children,
ages,
right,
including that, but even the 18 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
I have plenty of 18 to 21 year olds who are in here and using our focus, which they compare to Adderall and Ritalin, and it does better. And they don't feel like a zombie when they're taking it, like an Energizer Bunny zombie. It's like so hard to explain. So.
Yeah.
I definitely have people like that. And it's that part was the most frustrating. And then, so packaging, licensing fees, which I don't think is a huge issue because there are a lot of people selling stuff that they probably shouldn't be selling.
Mm.
And a lot of gas stations, some vape and smoke shops and smaller shops are definitely selling a lot of those products that are on this, you know, bill that we're trying to just clean up the act. So I don't mind that. Licensing fees, there was manufacturing and wholesale fees as well. There was a really restrictive part of the bill, which got amended slightly, two restrictive parts. First, they were trying to pass a total THC percentage. So everything would be tested total, not the 0.3%. So they would literally be changing the hemp bill. That was amended. And then they also had a really restrictive part of the licensing fee where any person with a felony or misdemeanor for cannabis charges, including all immediate family, that's anyone with your same last name, you could not own a license. In the state of Georgia.
What?
Misdemeanor.
What?
That, the word misdemeanor was amended, but felony is still in there.
What?
So you're telling me.
What if you're estranged from your family?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. They have to bear the same last name, immediate family. And it's very, very clear what, like, it gives the verbiage of who, what's considered immediate family. And it's literally like brothers, sisters, aunt, uncle, anybody with the same last name. So they kept in the felony part, which I think is going to be pretty hard hitting for a lot of business owners.
What if you have a very common last name, too? Like, how do you prove that you're related to somebody? Like, I would be so screwed.
That's frustrating. So I'm glad they at least took the misdemeanor out, because how many people do we know personally that got caught with a joint or a single vape pen or something like that, like, and got slapped with a misdemeanor? That would have been in there, and it's not. So that part was amended. I'm still against the felony part because that restricts so many business owners and licensed business owners to be able to operate. And then those business owners who do have family members like that, they're going to have to make a decision like, okay, come October 1st, do I sign my business, like literally a percentage of my business to someone who doesn't have the same last name as me, or do I shut down because they cannot operate in the state?
Wow.
So that was really restrictive. And then the last one is THCA. If you don't know what THCA is found in both cannabis hemp and cannabis marijuana. When it's lit and heated, it turns into THC delta 9, but psychoactive. THCA by itself is not psychoactive. You have to activate it. So in the state of Georgia, THCA has brought flower specifically, and vape pens, has brought so many, just thousands of people out from the underground. People literally are coming into my store and being like, oh, thank goodness, I don't have to message some stranger on Instagram and have them deliver a bag of flour. I'm like, that's so scary. Like, they're like, yeah, you're telling me? I didn't know what I was getting, and it's not clean. You have no idea. So we opened up this market where, again, we're in Georgia. This is all we can do. We have to work with hemp flower. This is all we could do. And so for us to bring so many people out of the gray black market, it was awesome. And then the actual verbiage in the law that was passed, which I think it was like four, maybe 14 people said no, and then it was like hundreds said yes. So it wasn't just the governor. It was passed unanimously, pretty much. So it wasn't just him signing it. But he, in that one, the THCA, it says that they will be all THCA, so not just flowers, so all the people who have THCA edibles on their shelf, we don't have any THC edibles, but all the people who do, or drops or vape pens, all of those, all THCA will be decarboxylated, converted to Delta 9.
And okay. So you can't sell THCA anymore?
As of October 1st.
In Georgia?
Wow. As of October 1st.
That's terrible. I love THCA so
it's
much.
Amazing for people who are even using it on the side. Like we've, like I said, we've converted so many, I'm quote unquoting, real flower users that are like, this stuff is fantastic because, again, it's you're getting a little bit of CBG. You're getting these other minors in the plant where it's not just like a straight high-powered THC Delta 9 flower. You're getting a more complete entourage effect and just a better feeling. So it is very frustrating because it wasn't hurting anyone. It's taking away dangerous flower, dangerous vape pens, and it's going to go all back underground. Mm. So that's the THCA side of it. So the rest of the bill, like I said, licensing fees, manufacturing, wholesale fees, the new packaging and labeling, everything has to be UV resistant. I think they really just don't want kids being able to see that it's a bottle of gummies, a drawer of gummies. I don't mind any of those as a parent. And like I said, for all of our stuff is in child resistant containers and our labels are really clean. Everything is covered. So for us, it wasn't, you know, hugely restrictive because that's how we're already operating. But I know it is going to hurt a lot of companies.
The thing that I the mental gymnastics that are going on in my brain are that, you know, I do give my son CBD gummies. And so oh, yeah. I tried to talk to him about these are your special gummies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Same with all of our parents.
Right. But so it's it. I mean, the childproof thing, it's like I said before, we could go on and on and on about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the part where they're not able to see what it is. I don't know how. I just feel like that's so unnecessary. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of discussions about how much waste that creates and how environmentally unfriendly that is. But just like logistically, just thinking like right now, like if my son saw me take a gummy out of a bag and put it up, it doesn't matter how. If he's able to see
in the container. It's the same as any medicine. It's right. The same as any medicine. As parents, we are responsible for talking to our children about medicine and keeping medicine where our kids can't access it. But I will say our bill was definitely way less restrictive than Florida's. So Florida, all hemp products, even if it's just straight CBD, you have to list the National Poison Control Hotline on your label.
Okay, having lived in Florida, that's hilarious.
I know. I'm like, seriously? I was like,
that's going to keep anyone from doing anything?
And we have to change all of our labels, and I'm like, really? Poison control?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What? So it's like,
that's ridiculous.
Oh. It's really, really frustrating. Obviously, we have to list everything. Part of the label was anything with THC. We have to list our warning. Again, we're already listing it. Like, don't drive heavy machinery. Mm-hmm. Make sure you know how you feel when you're taking this. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. But actually, is that warning even on wine and beer and liquor?
No. It just makes me think about a story I read about like how in Tokyo, they have like skulls on their cigarette packs. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, the skeleton, like you're going to die if you smoke these. And that's, you know, makes sense because they can kill you.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, so what are your hopes for the future of the cannabis industry and the hemp industry in Georgia?
Obviously way less restrictive. I don't mind the licensing fees and a little bit of restriction because, like I said, it kind of weeds out the bad apples where you're like, okay, I know this person's not going to be getting people sick with like super, super high THC stuff. for me, I'm definitely in the industry of trying to heal people and change lives. Don't get me wrong, we have our recreational people too, who take our high-powered gummies and they don't have aches and pains and they just want to feel good. But again, if I can offer that person a clean source, something I know isn't laced with God only knows what, and being able to walk in and like use a credit card to pay for it and not sit there and have to meet somebody with cash on the corner and risk getting mugged. So for me, that's my hope, just to be able to continue to do that. For the cannabis industry, I hope and pray that obviously the THC percentage goes up. 5% really doesn't do a whole lot for people, and they're having to consume more and more. It's not a cheap oil at all. And it is only 5%. And for the people who are really needing it, cancer patients, MS, sickle cell patients, all these patients, 5% isn't going to do a whole lot. So they're having to consume more, which is costing more for everyone, manufacturers, users, everything. So biggest hope is that the percentage is raised. I don't mind having a medical side of things. Obviously, my hope and dream is that it goes recreational and is removed from scheduling, not transferred to Schedule 3. I'm very, very against it going to Schedule 3. But it is removed from scheduling. It needs to be decriminalized, legalized everywhere. It's a plant. It's been used for over 6,000 years as medicine with zero recorded deaths. It's not something that is dangerous and definitely should not be something that is being controlled as it is all around. So my hope is that it's legalized completely, and then there's just even more access for people who truly need a good quality hemp, because, again, we have so many people in here for healing that aren't just in here for the recreational side, and if we lose those recreational customers to real dispensaries that open up here, that's fine. We'll still have our market, and yeah. I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. All right, well, tell us a little bit more about your business before we go and how people can support you.
Okay. Well, it's Level Minds with an S, CBD.com. Like I said, we've been in business 9 years. It's my husband and I. We have a great staff. We got into business as soon as hemp became legal. Came back from actually a vape trade show where we met our first trade partner, a grower out in Kentucky. And one of our employees had really, really, really bad Crohn's disease. Couldn't touch beer, couldn't touch tomatoes, red sauce, anything, constantly in a ton of pain, a lot of anxiety too, because of course, with really severe Crohn's like that, it causes pretty severe anxiety. He was already a cannabis user and was smoking daily. And we came back with these hemp full spectrum CBD capsules. And we're like, okay, give these a try. Let's see what it does. And within about 5 days, he was consuming food he had consumed. His anxiety was lessening, all of this stuff. So we're like, maybe there's something to this. Maybe there's something to these other molecules and not just the THC side of it. And so started looking into it. And everything we were finding on the market either had horrible flavorings mixed with disgusting oil, food coloring, artificial sweeteners, or really, really, really low strength, like 10 milligram droppers. And we're like, I don't think this is enough. And so we just started doing our research and just tons and tons of it, and found again that stuff wasn't really strong enough. And it was stuff that we personally as a family wouldn't consume with the other ingredients. So we just set out and started creating Level Minds and producing our own products. And that's how it all started. And then for myself, I'm actually graduating at the end of this month with my functional nutrition counselor license. So helping people heal with all forms of food and herbs, and cannabis, of course, is included in that. So for me, it's about, you know, healing, changing lives, and helping everyone of any age to just be their better self.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I really do like that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I'd love to have you back on anytime.
Yay. Thanks so much for having me. Have a great one.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.